Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I'm FPLD and today I'm up and about because guess what? I'm on a green arrow. I'm heading back towards where I was hoping to go a couple of weeks ago, back towards the 1K. I'm back inside the top five. At the moment, I'm actually inside the top 4,000 teams in the world again, which is fantastic. All off the back of some of my calls last week where I said that Kukure at 15-pointer was going to come in and we're going to be talking about him straight off the bat. He was huge. And obviously, you're here for the transfer plans, a game week preview. Well, I'm on free hit, so I'm going to show you all the different players I'm going to think are going to be amazing over the course of this week. So if you want to check it out, if you want to make rank, if you want to take risks, I'm here for it. And I'm playing it. I'm going to go to the Hail Mary. We're going to have a watch along on Sunday during all the games. I've got people coming on to join me. It's going to be fantastic stuff. Make sure you subscribe if you haven't already subscribed, because I'm also going to be doing content during the summer in preparation for next season. So you don't want to miss that out. So make sure you do subscribe so you get that. And for all those people, amazing people that have already liked my videos all the way through, if you continue to do that, that'd be amazing. And with all that being said, let's go. Mark Kukurea. 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 He eats paella. He drinks Estrella. His hair's effing massive. One, two, three, four. And then the best thing I've got to say is I can't do it because I'm not Spanish and I can't say it in Spanish. So I'm just going to say Haaland needs to be trembling. Haaland, you better tremble because Kukurea is coming to take the plaudits off you. He has laid down the gauntlet for Haaland on Tuesday night. Kukurea has scored 15 points, mate. If that is not a wake-up call, if this man with the hair from Spain that's been taunting you all season since the Euros is outscoring you playing Man United and you have Bournemouth at home, you need to look at yourself in the mirror. Erling Haaland, this is a rocket from the D unit. You need to deliver a hat-trick. You sat there on the weekend, chickened out of a penalty, gave it to someone else, probably cost your team the thing. You need to return to form. You need a hat-trick on this game week. But that's all about Haaland being said. Hopefully he gets a rocket. Hopefully he fires up because he's also a very good differential for me this week. But the game week 37 hero, normally I don't start with my hero, but this man, I called it all last week. I think I said it in four different videos that this man was going to get a clean sheet and he was likely to score a goal. And I actually couldn't believe it. I did a live watch along with FPL Have a Beer on his channel with also FPL Nightmare. And I don't think they could believe when the goal went in, I just absolutely lost it. I was like, and it was against my own team. It was against Man United. You would think I would care a bit more, but I did not. I was very happy. I was a very happy man that Kukurea came in with the 15 points, especially after the earlier game had finished and Konza's 15 points had come in. I was like, this is the moment, mate, where I really need that 15 points to come in. And I don't know if I just manifested it or it was just brilliant, but my God, it was beautiful. It was a thing of beauty. So his header absolutely smashed in and all ends up. James with the assist as well, Reece James, FYI. So he got his one goal. He got the one clean sheet. He got the three bonus, obviously, because he scored the goal. And he obviously kept the clean sheet. And he scored the goal off an XGI chance of 0.17. Unbelievable. What a man. He is going into the... Well, I can tell you, on the review after next week when I put out a review of the season, Kukurea, and the moment I decided to bring him in game week 31 for Gabriel, the story has continued to grow. He sucked when I needed him on bench boost. He was okay and serviceable when I had him on blank game week 34 and then in game week 36. Hello, that is why I bought you. Just wanted to give a shout out to my boy, Marco Kukurea. Oh, we love Kukurea, don't we? So, the team's points as it is. And look, it's been a pretty good game week for me so far. I've obviously still got four players to play. Guardiola, Munoz, Salah, and Haaland. So Haaland's obviously my one differential in there. Everyone else is pretty much playing Munoz, Guardiola, and Salah. Now, I am kind of hoping that Crystal Palace, having won the FA Cup, I'm kind of hoping that a few of them get alcohol poisoning and Munoz actually doesn't play in the game. Because realistically, I don't think Guardiola's going to be rested. Salah's not going to be rested. Haaland's not going to be rested. And I am very excited about potentially getting that Milinkovic 8-pointer off my bench and onto the field, which will definitely help me gain even more rank back. As I said, 57 points at the moment, up to 3,910 in the world. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. So, yeah, there's a lot to love there in terms of that. Obviously, literally every player returned. In fact, every player would have returned if Brian and Mbeumo had scored that penalty yesterday that Kevin Sade had won, Kevin Sade would have been on 5 points, Whistler on 10, and Boyama would have been on 30 points. Like, I could have been on 80. Hold on, let me work it out. I could have been on an extra 23 points. I worked it out. Yes. So I would have been on 80 points with still four players to play. It would have been absolutely massive. I couldn't believe it. When he missed a penalty, I was like, oh, he's never missed a penalty. He's got 11 from 11. He's now got 11 and 12. It's just unfortunate. And honestly, that would have been the definition of like, the top 1K would have been well back on if that goal had gone in. Because a lot of people had Captain Ollie Watkins. A lot of people had Captain Salah. If Mbeumo had managed to return with that second goal, and then obviously I would have been, as I said, 23 points better off. I would be looking at an unbelievably good green arrow and almost knocking on the door of the 1K after this week. Then with a free hit to come this week, I almost, unless I completely stuff up the draft, which I mean, it is possible, right? It's a game of luck after all. Yeah, I was just, I know, it was kind of annoying, but considering how well everything else has gone this week, it's been amazing. Obviously, on the deadline stream, I ended up bringing in Ollie Watkins instead of Jamie Vardy. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but I'm kind of gutted that I did that. Could have been 3 points better off and enjoying the Vardy party rather than sitting there wondering what could have been. But again, he was brilliant and he got his 200th goal, so well done to him. Jared Bowen continues to fire as well. Another goal in this game. In fact, it was a brilliant goal. It was a goal pretty much out of nothing. And the volleyed at home so well. It was brilliant. David Raya had 5 saves in the first 20 minutes of that game against Newcastle, then didn't get another save for the rest of the game, and then got himself booked right before the end of the game, which was unhelpful because if he'd managed to get those two things, it would have been a 9-pointer instead. It ended up being 7. But again, pretty happy. Dan Byrne, obviously, was unlucky in that game. Newcastle, if they had Isaac, maybe that might have been a thing. And that was one of the stories of the week, is that there was no Isaac. But look, the team's looking pretty good. Thank you very much. They've served me pretty well. They've got me to this spot. Yes, my triple captain sucked. Yes, my bench boost sucked. 8 points combined from those two chips. I mean, I could only imagine if they'd somehow gone half decently and the triple captain had got me like 10 points instead of 2. That's an extra 8 points. And then my bench boost had got like a serviceable like 10 instead of the 6 that it got. That would have been an extra 12 points and I'd almost be like inside the top 1K. So it's amazing the season I've had. It's been brilliant. Second last week of the season. Well, this is the last week of the season, but the second last reflection on how well the team's gone. And game week 37 at the moment has gone exceptionally well for the D unit. So just before we get into the early notes, we do have an outright league leader now. So BBL Drizzy has taken the lead. Unfortunately, Sharkash with me, he captained Palmer, which is probably the reason why he may no longer win the league. But at the moment, BBL Drizzy is still just under 50 points in front of me. Unbelievable. But he's got one less player to play. I've got Haaland. Yeah, so I'm interested to see if I can catch him or make any inroads there. Obviously, if Munoz doesn't play, I'll be exceptionally happy because they'll get that 8 points off the bench. So he's on 2,601 points. He's currently ranked 453, I think, in the world. But this week, we've got two leaders at the moment. Now, this is likely to change because one's still got 3 players to play and one's still got 4. But at the moment, Winning 11 and Florence are tied for 73 points each this game week. Unbelievable. Good scores. And they're both on bench boost, and they're both getting some decent points off that. So well done to both of them. So the notes. The final Vardy party goes off with an absolute banger. He gets his goal. It's a typical Jamie Vardy goal on the breakaway. Slots at home, and I can't believe that he didn't get booked, because I thought for all money he was going to do something that would enable him getting booked pretty much when he scored. But he essentially dismantled the corner flag and just posed like the GOAT that he is. And let's be honest, he is the Foxes' all-time GOAT. He came up with them when they were promoted originally. He was there when they won the title. He was there when they won the FA Cup. It's very fitting that he got his 200th goal for Leicester in his 500th final appearance for Leicester and his 150th Premier League goal. Fantastic. You've had a great career, mate. I've enjoyed the moments that you've provided football, even though you've never played. But maybe you might want to do something else. Maybe you want to sit there and convince United to sign you just so you can score a goal in front of the Kop next season. That, I'm here for that. I would love to see that. And Boomer returns, but what could have been? As I said, that 5 points really should have been 15 if he'd scored that penalty. It would have been on for the 3 bonus. And realistically, it's probably cost Brentford 8th spot that game. It's going to be very hard for them to finish 8th now. They are reliant on other teams, particularly Bournemouth and Fulham and Brighton all not winning. Well, Brighton and Bournemouth not winning or getting anything from their games this week. They obviously do have the superior goal difference because they've been scoring goals, and I still think that they'll score goals against Wolves, but that was disappointing. So unfortunately, Sade, my differential, didn't do that well. But Wissa continues to fire. What a man. Another goal, another assist. Unfortunately, another yellow card, because else he would have been on for the three bonus, but instead he only got two because of the card, so that was unfortunate. Raul Jimenez, by the way, was really good in that game as well. Got the goal with an amazing header and cleaned up all three bonus because of the fact he didn't get booked. So well done to him. Bowen continues to return. This man just doesn't seem to stop. I said I really wanted to own him between, I feel like it was wild card and the end of the season. He just looked great on paper, and it's proven to be the case. I think he's had two blanks in that space of time. Unbelievably consistent, and with that kind of run of fixtures for West Ham, he's really cashed in. Alanga, Morgan Gibbs-White, Rogers, Watkins, they all kept returning as well. Obviously, Konsa as well was a massive 15-pointer. To anyone that had him, you are loving life. I mean, the dude never gets involved in goal-scoring chances and emphatically puts away a header off a corner. Like, what are you... Are you kidding me? But it was brilliant. I'm very happy for all those people that kept him. And look, I actually did briefly contemplate bringing him in a defensive transfer. How good would that have been if I'd done it? But to everyone that did do it, congratulations, well done. Palace win the FA Cup. What to expect on Tuesday night? Nobody knows. I mean, Dean Henderson was talking. There's a brilliant video of him saying, who gives an F that we're 12 because we won the FA Cup? And I couldn't agree more. Who the hell cares where they finish? The next two games, you might as well write them off. They are in party mode. They're in Europe. They're into the Europa League. It's just great stuff. It's actually great stuff. I'm very happy for the Palace friends, especially Alan, who quite often comes onto my channel. He's a Palace fan, and he unfortunately will not be able to join us on Sunday because he's driving up to Liverpool to watch Palace in the away end. I can't believe he's got a ticket to that. That would be a very hot ticket in town, particularly considering that Liverpool are about to get presented the Premier League trophy. So that will be interesting in and of itself. So I hope they can spoil the party because it'd be quite funny, to be fair, but I'm not expecting them to do so. Arsenal obviously still there. Their Champions League spot, UEFA Champions League spot. Oh my God, I just couldn't. That word just did not want to come out. But the race for the other places goes down to the final day. Now, Man City can sort of almost guarantee their place, and then that means we've got four teams pretty much fighting out for two spots. Chelsea versus Nottingham Forest is now a winner takes all match, pretty much. Well, especially, yeah, essentially that's what it's coming down to. Aston Villa, obviously, with a great chance against Man United to seal a spot there. And Newcastle, obviously, with that home fixture against Everton, look really good. And, yeah, I'm excited. There's something to look forward to on that final day watch-along. And I think the teams to target, if you're on free here, are the ones that have still got something to fight or the ones with really good-looking fixtures on paper. Obviously, fighting for eighth is still a thing as well. Because if Chelsea somehow lose to Forest, don't end up in the Champions League spots, and then they win the Conference League, their spot will actually, from winning the Conference League and not finishing the Champions League spots, that means eighth place will actually go to Europe next season. So that is very important to note. That is still a fairly decent chance of happening, even though Crystal Palace won the FA Cup. More and more teams are now likely to be on the beach, though, in the lead-up to Game Week 38, which should equal, if I've got it right, more goals. We saw a lot of goals, some cracking games of football on the weekend, but it also means we're probably likely to see rotation. Now, Arsenal's a classic case in point. Saliba went off of a hamstring injury, or hamstring tightness, should I say. Saka got taken off on 75 minutes. Their Champions League spot is secure for next season. They don't have to worry about it. Are they really going to send out everyone? I'm not sure. If you're an Arsenal fan, let me know what you think Arteta's likely to do. I've read comments that there's going to be mass rotation. I've heard comments already that he's highly likely to field a full-strength team. So any Arsenal fans there, let us know in the comments what's going on there. Now, Man United and Spurs did go as predicted on Friday night. They were both teams. I mean, Chelsea struggled to actually break down United, but eventually they did it. United didn't really offer too much against Chelsea. And Spurs also created a few problems for Villa in the first half. But the longer the game went on, you could tell that they weren't interested in winning it. And it became quite comfortable for Villa. Now, are they going to be easy beats this week? Now, Villa obviously go to Man United and Brighton go to Tottenham. And Brighton may well be fighting for eighth still. And Villa obviously fighting for the Champions League spots. But I dare say, whoever's lost that game is going to want to put on a show in front of their fans, even though they have to pick themselves up off the canvas. I'm not sure that those two fixtures are as easy as they look or have looked on paper over the last 4 or 5 weeks. So for that reason, I would say treat them with a little bit of caution, because I feel like potentially those fixtures are not going to be as easy. I feel like Man United will want to put on a performance in their final home game of the season, because we've been so poor at home all year. I'd really want to be seeing a performance. So I don't know. I just don't think those fixtures, now that they're actually at their home grounds, are going to be as easy this week. Will the relegated teams be complete fodder again in game week 38? That is the question. Especially for the likes of Arsenal, who've got Southampton. Especially for Bournemouth, who have Leicester. And West Ham, who have Ipswich. What are we got? What are we going to expect? And which differentials are going to pop off to end the season? Well, I've been doing lots of research today for the differentials video tomorrow. And I can tell you, I've got a lot of players to focus on this particular game week. So the assistant manager in game week 37, it was Potter versus Nottingham Forest as my top assistant table bonus manager. And to be honest, West Ham were pretty poor after half-time. When Nottingham Forest took the lead, I was surprised I actually got anything on it. So he ended up with 1 point, not ideal. Hurzel's still to play against Liverpool tonight. Emery got the job done, 10 points. It was just brilliant. 2-0 win, that's exactly what you want. And I did say he was a really good pick. And then I said Maresca was the other one. He got 9 points. Again, 1 point for the goal, 2 for a clean sheet, 6 for the win. So fantastic stuff to all of them. All those managed performed, except for Graham Potter, unfortunately. And I did have him at number one, so that's unfortunate for the Dable Bonus Kings. So the game week 37 star, really, was Johan Wisser. 10 points, 1 goal, 1 assist, 2 bonus points, 1 yellow card. I mean, if it wasn't for the yellow card, he got them all. And Dai, for anyone else, was probably the star, but no one went there. 1.1% differential. Everyone was talking about Beto. And in reality, it was actually Ndiaye that got both goals. They literally had the same XG as well. Unbelievable stuff. It was just quite unfortunate, really. Yeah, just the best way of putting it, really. So Wizard did get his goal off an XG of 1.33 over the course of the game, and his assist came off only 0.05 for assist. Really good. He's just been fantastic asset to own. And for that reason, he just needs to be called out. I said about 4 or 5 weeks ago, he would be the best forward to own between now and the end of the season. And he's well on track to do it. It'd be taking a final day miracle from someone and scoring a hat-trick potentially to dethrone Wisser as the best forward to buy since I said it. So the last 5 weeks, this man is in unbelievably hot form. He has not blanked in the last 5 weeks, and he's got 44 points, and he's got Ipswich up next. Now, these numbers are not so sustainable, you would think, but Ipswich coming up the last game of the season, who have got a very poor defence. You would expect Jarrod Bowen to continue on his merry way. 44 points from 4 goals, 2 assists, 6 bonus points, and he's scored those 4 goals of an XG of 1.21. It's just unbelievable. He's almost outperformed his XG by 4 times over. He's got an expected assist of 0.99 over that time. Again, doubled that with 2 assists. He's just been unbelievably good. And I said for a long time that I really wanted to own Jarrod Bowen. I'm so glad that I bought him in 34. So I've had him for 34, 35, 36, 37. 4 weeks of brilliance. Unfortunately, there's been no mega hauls, but maybe this is the week that he gets the mega haul against Ipswich. I think Ipswich is just going to go out there and try and put on a show in their last home game in the Premier League. So for that reason, I feel like there's going to be goals on offer. This game screams like one of them firecrackers. There could just be goals left, right and centre. And I just feel like if West Ham score, Jarrod Bowen's going to be involved. If he's not scoring, he's probably assisting. He's a hot pick for game week 38 yet again. So the captaincy choice, and we're going to cover this really quickly. At the moment, Haaland and Salah haven't played, but they look like two really good differential captains now because of how everyone else has gone. There's been no massive scores amongst the other popular captains. Bryan Mbeumo should have had 15 points, but alas, he only got the 1 goal. He had an XG, obviously, of 1.08, XGI of 1.08. Just unfortunate, really. I mean, normally you'd bank him to score that penalty, and all of a sudden, he is the best captaincy choice by a country mile. He would have been on for 15 points, significantly better than the 5 he's ended up with. Again, he has returned, but that penalty miss really did hurt, because if he hadn't missed a penalty, if they hadn't got the penalty to begin with, he probably would have been closer to 9-10 points rather than the 5 he's ended up on. So again, for that reason, it's just quite unfortunate that he didn't pop off. And then when we compare the second lot of captains, Palmer, XGI of 0.33, did not do much in this game. And to add insult into the wounds, He got himself booked towards the end of the game. So he went from 3 points, because obviously they kept the clean sheet, down to two. So anyone that went there took a gamble, and I'm so glad, thankful that I didn't take a minus four to bring him in, because I feel like I then would have captained him as well, and I would have been up, like, I would have been on minus four, and his captaincy points literally wouldn't have even covered that. So that's annoying. Ollie Watkins, XGI of 0.59, only came away with an assist. Again, probably underperformed. He had some decent chances to actually score, but his shots weren't actually overly good. They didn't really trouble Kinski in goal. 5 points again, matching Mbeumo's tally. So it's a dead heat between those two, but in reality, it probably shouldn't have been. And then Jamie Vardy, I did say that if I went with the Vardy punt in the end, I would have captained him, and I kind of wish that I had. 8 points, one goal off an XGI of 0.38. I mean, it was the Vardy party. It just had to be. Anyone that brought him in and captained him, congratulations. 8 points, you take that all day long. And he was pretty good in comparison to Watkins and Mbeumo Palmer. He's been the standout pick so far. Will that change after tonight's game? Will Salah overtake? And will Haaland overtake on Tuesday? I mean, a fight at Haaland or Rocket, if there's a time to do it, it's probably now. So my team in game week 37 versus the current team of the week. So the current team of the week there is filled with defenders dominating. So Raya, obviously 7 points. I had him on my team, so that was nice. I had obviously Kukurea's 15 points, but then Konza's 15 points, Justin's 12 points. Like, where's Justin been? That's his first return in I don't even know how long. Then we've got James with that assist as well, and a 10-pointer there. Just really big points in the defense again. The defense are just killing it at the moment. Konza's been named as the player of the week. I really believe it should be Marco Kukurea. But that's an argument for another day. Rice, 11 points. That was really nice. Gibbs White, also 11 points. Really nice there. Kamara, no one had him. 10 points there in the Villa midfield. And Adama Traore, back from the grave pretty much, as Tom would say. 9 points. Then up top we had Ndiaye with that brace. The brilliant brace it was as well. The XG between him and Beto was literally... Beto had actually shaded the extra XG. Had two goals ruled out for offside. He was probably the most unlucky player this game week. And yet Ndiaye pops up with both goals. You wouldn't be able to write. I didn't even think of Ndiaye as an option this week, if I'm being brutally honest. Maybe I should have, because of the fact he's on penalties and that's more routes to points. But I just didn't really think about him. And all the chances have been going Beto's way. So for Ndiaye to pop up with two goals is lovely. And then Wissa, obviously, is in my team as well, with a big 10-pointer as well. Yeah, I mean, there's been some big scores this week, that's for sure. So teams fighting for eighth and teams fighting for the UCL. And this is the game week 38 FDR. It is one solo game. I can't believe it. We've made it all the way to the end. So the teams fighting for eighth are Brentford, Bournemouth, Fulham and Brighton. Now, Brighton and Bournemouth will really put themselves in the mix if they can get any kind of result against Liverpool and Man City in game week 37. If not, they're all going down to the final wire. Fulham's win against Brentford was huge. They're all now in with a chance of finishing eighth. It really is going to go down to the wire. And then the teams fighting for the Champions League, Man City, Chelsea, Forest, Aston Villa, Newcastle, these are the teams to target in game week 38. Arsenal against Southampton is a great fixture. West Ham against Ipswich is a great fixture. But technically speaking, they haven't got anything to fight for, those teams. So for that reason, I think these teams here are realistically where you want to be targeting your transfers or the players you're going to be starting, because I think they're going to be playing their full-strength lineups because they need to win. For that reason, I think that's probably where I'd be looking. And probably also Liverpool. They're getting the title. They'll want to put a show on in front of their fans before they get presented the trophy. So for that reason, I think they are also a team that you should be aware of and probably own a couple of assets from them this week as well. So, obviously, I am on free hit, and I thought I'd finish this video off by having a look at two different squads that I put together. Now, I'm in two minds whether it's actually worth getting any Arsenal players in at all. And I'm going to explain why, because if they don't care about it and they don't rest their players, and we'll probably get team leaks before the game starts about who's starting, right? Because every game's playing at the same time. We may well get the leaked lineup that Arsenal have massively rotated. And then I just pull all my Arsenal assets out. But players that I'm almost 100% certain to have in the lineup are Mo Salah, and realistically, he could well be the captain against Crystal Palace. I'm expecting him to put on a show. Luis Diaz as well, I think, is probably going to come in. It's either Diaz or Gapco. I have an extra Liverpool forward in this draft. Jarrod Bowen's a lock as well. Against Ipswich, he just has to be. Then everyone else is very much circumstance, but I really like the fact that Semenyo, Kluivert, and Van Linsen, in the top 10K, they're all stupidly low-owned. Now, if I back in Bournemouth, who are chasing 8th still, and hopefully still with a chance of getting 8th post the Man City game, all of a sudden, I really like their attacking assets. And I feel like potentially I could just move there and triple up. Like, it's definitely something that I've thought about, because they're all so low-owned. If they score a lot of goals against Leicester, and you would expect them to, I don't know. I just, something about it that just screams, maybe that's the way I go. So there's a number of different ways of going. And the left-hand side, I've gotten Boemo and Wissa still. On the right-hand side, I've just taken out Brentford assets entirely against Wolves. But I just feel like that's bad, because I feel like they will return. They're quite highly owned in the top 10K. But at the same time, I also want to take some risks this week and really give myself a chance of making up 30 points. Like, could a guy absolutely ham, get a massively differential captain who pops off and gets like 15 points? I pick some picks and just go off everywhere. So this is what I'm looking at. So obviously Newcastle have that fixture as well. I'm highly likely, I think, against Everton to probably play double Newcastle defence. Only because of the fact that I don't really like their attacking options, but I know that they'll have to keep that clean sheet. So for that reason, I think I'm highly likely to go with Livramento and Burn. Ray is the most logical goalkeeper to have, right? And Wan-Bissaka's obviously in there as well. And Kirk, as I've got on one side, Kivior on the left and Trent Alexander-Arnold. I've just put Trent in there because I just wanted to troll really more than anything else. I'm probably likely not going to be playing him, let's be honest. Don't rate the player. And just put him in there for the sake of it because I had so much money. As you can see, the squad on the left, 103.7 million, 4.3 in the bank. The one on the right, 98.6 million, 8.9 million in the bank. Haaland's obviously in the first one as well. But that's based on, I want to see what happens on Tuesday night. Now, if he starts popping off Tuesday night, he's going to be staying in because he's going to be a mad differential. No one's going to be bringing him in. No one's going to be wasting a transfer on that. So I quite like that. But I also quite like the fact that Cunha's at home every his final week. And after Fulham put 3 past Brentford, I feel like Cunha could definitely put some past Brentford. Again, I also want to see how Cunha plays on Tuesday night, see if he gets on the bench or if he starts, because if he starts, I think he starts in game week 38. So for that reason, there's a couple of things I need to see from the other fixtures, but at the early stage, free hit draft, that's what I'm looking at. I do want to try and put my team value to use as well, but there's no point picking players that are expensive if they're not performing. So for that reason, as you can see there on the left, no sucker. On the right, there is a sucker. Again, I don't really know if he's actually that good of an asset or not. It's just going to be one of those things to monitor between now and when the game week 38 deadline comes around. So that brings me to the end of my Game Week 38 Early Thoughts, and it is the final Early Thoughts and Transfer Plans and look ahead for the season. I can't believe we've done this for 38 weeks. It's been a journey. It's been a journey 100%. Hopefully you're enjoying it. Hopefully you guys are having a great week so far on Game Week 37. Let me know in the comments what score you are currently on. Are you on a green arrow? What plans are you looking to do in Game Week 38? Are you playing a chip in 38? Please let me know. I'll be back with my differentials tomorrow, and it is going to be a bumper episode. I don't know how long it's going to go for, but I've got every perceivable differential that I'm currently thinking about for my own free hit 38 squad. And I'm excited to unveil the players that I am looking at that hopefully might actually shoot me up enough to get back inside the top 1K. That is a dream, right? And one can only dream. Before you go, smash a like on the video. Subscribe if you haven't already done so, so you stay involved with everything. Join the WhatsApp group. The comment in there, that'll be nice to see you. We've got 60-odd members in there now, which is fantastic. All we do is talk FPL. That's been your great preview, and I've been FPL D Unit.